So today we're going to begin a three-week series that I've titled Responding to the Risen King. And we're going to look at 1 John, if you turn in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 5. And I've titled today's message, Life in the Son. Just a reminder, in case you missed last week, he is risen. Amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful news every day? Every day. Brother Mark is down there helping with the kiddos, or I'd ask him how long it's been because I'm terrible with time, but I remember it's been two or three Easters ago. Mark and I were sitting in the office and we were talking about that greeting. That's a traditional old greeting of the church from long ago. He is risen, and the response is, he is risen indeed. And Mark and I decided there in the office a few years ago, we thought that's just too good to say for one day a year. And there was probably 6 months every day, whenever I'd see, we would greet each other with that. Now, what a wonderful, wonderful truth. He is risen. Around the year 95 AD, the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, recorded in Revelation chapter 1. You're welcome to turn there if you like in your Bibles this morning. I don't have any slides for this. Brian, I think the only thing I have slides for is the main passage from 1 John 5, so don't be worried. I'm ad-libbing some today as far as the slides go. But in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, John wrote, "When I saw him," he's speaking of this vision of Jesus that he saw, "when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and he said, 'Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades.'" He is risen. He is alive today. Amen. He is risen, and he has absolute power, absolute authority, has the keys to death and Hades, and not only that, has the gift of eternal life to give to anyone he chooses. Isn't that awesome? He has all authority. He has authority to speak blessing and life to anyone who will come to him. Anyone who will just put their trust in him, who will take Jesus at his word. We sang earlier, just to take him at his word. What a blessing to trust in Jesus, to receive from Jesus. You know, sometimes we use phrases, I think it's good, but we say things like, invite Jesus into your life. Invite Jesus into your life. That's a good saying. But I think we could also say accurately, invite Jesus into your death. Invite Jesus into your death. Jesus said, recorded in John 10:10, "I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly." He came to give life to those who don't have it. You know, until each of us come to that place of trusting in Jesus, receiving Jesus, we're walking in death. We don't have life. There's a real sense. The Bible tells us that we're dead until we receive Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God tells us, "You were dead in your offenses, your trespasses, and your sins, in which you previously walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," speaking of Satan, "the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience." It's good to be reminded Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Jesus didn't come to take mediocre people and make them excellent. Jesus did not come even just to take sick people and to make them better. Jesus came to dead people to make them alive. Jesus came to be that life, to give us that gift of the Holy Spirit, to give us that life, that supernatural life. And without the Lord Jesus Christ today, we're dead. And I know some people, maybe you haven't received that gift yet, and that doesn't make sense to you, and you think, well, wait a second. I'm living and breathing today. I got up, I had my coffee, I had my donuts, I did my thing, and I'm alive. I'm breathing, I've got a job, I've got my relationships. Obviously, I am living. Obviously, I'm alive, but I want to tell you today that that's existence. You know, because God is our creator, we have existence. We have eternal existence. You have eternal existence today, but that doesn't mean you have life. See, real death, what death really is the separation of a soul from God. You don't have to be, listen, you don't have to be a Christian in order to have eternal existence. We all have eternal existence. The question is, where do you have it? After you leave this world, do you have eternal existence separated from God in hell, or do you have eternal existence in heaven with the Lord? So you have eternal existence because God created you. You do not have eternal life until you are born of God, until you trust in the Savior. You have to receive Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. That's why He came. Jesus said, I came that they would have life. That's why we celebrate Easter. We celebrate our risen King and our Savior, because He showed that He has the power to do what He says. He has the power to lay His life down and to take it up again. He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to save you and give you eternal life. Amen. Every person can receive that gift. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, you can have eternal life. You can have a victorious life. You can be made new. You can have a life of purpose and meaning. And we shared a hymn last week, He Lives. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. I invited Him in. He gave me life. He made me new. Well, as you look at 1 John 5 this morning, I want to speak with you about being born of God, about having life in the Son. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. Everyone, all people, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child also. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came. Jesus came. He came to this earth and lived that life 33 years ago, or 33 years of life on earth, by water and blood, the word says. Jesus Christ. Jesus came. By water and blood, water referring to that crucial beginning of His ministry, His baptism. The Heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit descended as a dove, testifying that this is the Son of God. This is not an ordinary human being. This is not even just a great teacher or prophet. This is the Son of God. And then the testimony of His blood is His crucifixion. There was a supernatural eclipse. There was a rending in the temple of the veil. There was a partial resurrection of saints. There was a Roman soldier who was a witness and testified. He said, surely this is the Son of God. And the Father working through all these things to say, this is my Son. There is no one like Him. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. And there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made Him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony that God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. During Jesus' earthly ministry, those 33 years during his life and that 3 years of ministry, the Apostle John was called to Jesus and not only to follow him as a disciple, but was a close friend, an intimate friend for those 3 years of Jesus. John heard the teachings. He saw the miracles. He saw the conversations and the interactions that Jesus had with people. He was there for the transfiguration. He was there even at the crucifixion. He was there when Jesus was resurrected and when he came and appeared to his apostles. He was there at the ascension. And then he was there on the Isle of Patmos and Jesus appeared to him. And so John knew Jesus so well. And John could speak with great certainty when he spoke about Jesus. In this short letter that we call 1 John, the word know, we know, or I know, appears dozens of times. Because John could say with certainty, we know these things. I know these things about Jesus. These things are sure. These things are dependable and certain. One example, verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know, not guess, not a hope so faith, that you may know, you can be sure that you have eternal life. Jesus wants me and you to know. He wants us to have confidence, to know. And the Apostle John said, you can have that. You can have that confidence. You can have that certainty, that same intimate relationship that he shared with Jesus, that daily friendship. John's saying, listen, you can have that. That's why he could say, we know over and over again. You can know this because of the Holy Spirit and the testimony of God about his Son. You can have this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You can know. Again, verse 11, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You can know that today. The first thing for us to recognize about life in the Son today, God gives life. God is a giver of life, and that life is in his Son. It is not God's desire that anyone here should perish. It is God's desire that every person would receive that gift that Jesus paid for, that every person would receive forgiveness, every person would receive the righteousness of Christ, every person would receive the promises of God. But we can only experience the fullness of that by trusting in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to trust in Jesus to receive that life, and you receive that life in receiving Jesus and trusting in him, receiving him into your life. Jesus said, those who do that, who believe in him, will never die. They have eternal life. It is Jesus' resurrection that assures us of this. Paul asked, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God, we have victory through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' resurrection, because he is the risen king, we can know he has all authority to give you the gift of eternal life. And when he gives you that promise, when he says, if you will trust in him, you receive that gift, you can be sure of that. You can be confident today. You don't have to guess. And you don't have to look at yourself. As Brad said earlier, sometimes we get to having some doubts and some fears. It's because our eyes are off of Jesus. When your eyes are on the king, you're confident because he keeps his promises. You know, one of the things that over the years as I've got to be part of a few churches that were little country churches, as well as some larger congregations, but I've been part of some little country churches that were located next to graveyards. I think it was a common thing back in the day for whatever reason. Maybe just a shared property, or as church members passed, you know, they would bury them there in the graveyard, but they would have cemeteries located next to the church property. And I've had folks say, you know, I really don't like that they located the cemetery there next to the church. Because I come to the church to be encouraged, and I come to the church to be full of joy and peace and hope, and I see that graveyard and it just depresses me. There was a pastor years ago, Lofton Hudson, and he said, you know, for many in the modern culture today, death is like a four-letter word. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to bring it up in polite conversations. But for those who are believers, listen, because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that should change the face of death for all of us. That when we think of death now, that yes, we have this natural aversion to dying, but our image of death should not be some hideous grim reaper that scares us. Right? This is a doorway to a fullness of eternal life with the Son now. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. We should be looking forward to that transition from this life and the way that we know Jesus here to this fullness of knowing Him as we are known. But even in this life, life in the Son gives a new quality of life for us. Even before we go to heaven, the life that God gives us, it's more than just about living forever. It's more than just that. It's about a fullness of life, an abundance of life, a goodness of life. Jesus said, I came that they would have life and have it in full, that they would have an abundant life. And until we receive that, the Bible says that we're dead in our trespasses and sins until we receive that gift from Jesus. The Lord promises whoever hears His words and believes His words receives eternal life. They pass over from judgment, from death to life. Life in the Son is more than just living. It's a quality of life, a goodness of life, a beauty of life, a value, a worth of life. Maybe you've had those aha moments, the Lord blesses me with these sometimes, where you're just going through the mundane things of your day, and He just hits you with His goodness. And you're just like, washing the dishes. You know, God, and in that moment, He's feeling the goodness of, I'm doing this for Jesus. And He's here with me as I do the dishes. And I'm blessed by that sunshine, and I'm blessed by that bird singing, and I'm blessed by knowing that later today I'm going to see my friend, and God is so good to me. Amen. And my life is messy because I'm messy, but my God is so good. He is so good to me. And the quality of the Christian life. I think back about people that I've known, senior saints from years ago, and just, they weren't perfect. Any more than me and you are, but just the goodness of their life, the little things they enjoyed, and just knowing God is so good to me in my life every day, in the little things. There's a goodness and a quality of life when you walk with Jesus. It's got to be personal, though. It's not just a good life for somebody else. It's got to be personal. Do you have life in the Son? Do you have life in the Son? Do you have life in Jesus? And maybe you're wondering today, well, how do I get it? Because I'm not really sure. How do I do that? Life in the Son is received through faith. It is a gift of God by grace through faith. Are you saved? And it is only through faith. Anybody who tries to add to that or take away from that is not in alignment with Scripture. It is a gift. It is a gift that comes from the Son of God. And you have to receive it through faith. John wrote there in verse 13, I write these things to you who believe, you who trust in the name that's synonymous with the person, the character of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, so that you may know. You can know that you have eternal life. You can know for certain by trusting in Jesus. It is faith. It is through faith. Faith is essential. It has always been essential. Now, I look at that story in Scripture, a wonderful, beautiful story of those four friends bringing the paralytic to Jesus. You remember He's in the house? He's teaching. It's full. They can't even get Him through the doorway. So they get this wonderful idea. They get up on the roof. They tear open this hole. They lower Him down. And Jesus sees their faith and heals this paralyzed man. And he said, "Son, you are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." God responds to our faith. He responds to us taking him at his word and acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God. You know, sometimes we read Bible stories and we get kind of detached from it and we think, well, that paralyzed man, he must have been a pretty good guy. Just to have simple trust and God heals him and says, your sins are forgiven. Maybe he couldn't have been as bad a sinner as I am. No. No, see, in our hearts and our minds sometimes, and maybe it's part of the fall, we like to categorize people. We like to label people. You know, we got the good people and the bad people. We could ask everybody in here, what's the criteria for that? We'd probably have 40 different responses for who the good people are and who the bad people are. The traditional answer a generation or two was, well, all the good folks are the folks in church on Sunday and all the bad folks are out, you know. No. No. See, the only opinion that really matters is God's opinion. And in God's viewpoint, there are no good people. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All are bad people. That's who Jesus came to save. Sinners. That's who he loves. Jesus loves sinners. It's not good people he loves. It's people who are dead in their sins that he can impart grace to and forgive and cleanse and make new. Give them a new name. Make them children of God. And we continue as we trust in Jesus and we begin a new life with him, we continue in the Christian life by faith, not in ourselves. Not in ourselves, but in Jesus, who keeps his promises, who is exactly who he says he is. As we go through the daily life, we walk by faith in Jesus, not in ourselves. In Romans, God's word says the just shall live by faith. In Galatians, the word of God says the just will live by faith. In Hebrews, the Bible says the just will live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, but it's not faith in us. It's not faith in our goodness. It's faith in the goodness of Jesus. He is an awesome Savior. He is an awesome Savior, and his grace is so much greater than my sin. I'm so thankful. Are you glad today that his grace is greater than your sin? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith is an essential component of the Christian life. Faith in the Son of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Be reminded of that today. If you feel weighed down because you have messed up, if you feel weighed down because of your doubts, maybe even doubting your salvation, get your eyes on Jesus. He keeps his word. And if he declares you a child of God and his spirit testifies to your spirit that you belong to him, he is faithful to keep you. And he will do it. You know, throughout the scriptures, look at throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, when the people of God take God at his word, God responds. Take God at his word. Take him at his word today. He is trustworthy. You can rely on him to save you and to keep you. But there's also the sad reality that life in the Son is missed by some through unbelief. Life in the Son is missed by unbelief, not because they're any worse sinners than anybody else, but if they refuse to believe, they can't receive. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life, verse 12. Pastor James, are you telling me that a really good person who makes great peach cobbler for the neighbors when they're sick, that if they don't trust in Jesus, they're going to hell instead of heaven? That's exactly what I'm saying. You mean that lovable, kind friend of mine who hasn't trusted in Jesus yet, putting off responding to the gospel? They're not saved. Doesn't matter how good they are. They may be 10 times kinder than anybody else you know, but until they trust in Jesus, they have to put their trust in Christ. Everything hinges upon trusting in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. John 3:18 tells us. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. We sang a hymn at the start of the service today. Brethren, we have met to worship. I want to read over some of what we sang. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming. Hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He may be found. Brethren, pray that holy blessings will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Let the love of Christ motivate you. Let obedience to Christ motivate you. We live in this world for a reason. Jesus didn't save you and take you out. He saved you and left you here for the ministry of reconciliation. You are here and I am here because there are people all around us that do not know the Savior. Yeah. And they need to. Yeah. And He has given you the gospel message, and He's given me the gospel message, and He's given us His Holy Spirit. And there are people who are ensnared by sin just like you and I were. And they need to know Jesus. Now, some of you, I know a couple of you have seen the movie The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. Brother George recommended it to me. Thank you. Great movie. In this movie, there's an elderly gentleman, Mr. Sperry, and he takes these boys under his wing to mentor them and teach them about the gospel, to share with them what it means to be a Christian. And Mr. Sperry takes this group of boys to the cemetery, and he has them put their heads against the tombstones. And he says, put your ear against the tombstones and listen. Listen really well. And Mr. Sperry said, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? I'm in torment in this place, speaking for the dead. Why didn't you tell me about the Savior? We need to share our testimony. Yes, sir. We are called to be witnesses at school, at work, at lunch, everywhere. We are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, everywhere we are. If He has changed you, if He has made you new, you have a testimony. And we need to share our testimony. We need to be a witness for Jesus. Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? 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 God, make us bold to say so. I get scared too, guys. I start looking at my flesh and thinking, what if I blow it? What if I say the wrong thing? Listen, it's not dependent on what you say. You have the Holy Spirit. Just share what God puts on your heart. Yeah. He'll do the work. Yeah. You just speak up. And even if you say something stupid, and I have, He can work through that. That's how awesome He is. Share your testimony. But even more than that, take people to the Word of God. Share your testimony, but people need to hear what God's Word has to say about Jesus. Because we trust in God's testimony about His Son. We trust in God's testimony. A personal testimony about a new life in Jesus is wonderful. But we have to take people to the Scriptures. God's testimony about Jesus is greater. So we take people to the Word of God and say, this is what God says about His Son. Again, verses 9 and 10 here in 1 John 5. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because they've not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. Excuse me. If you take people to the Scriptures and you share the gospel message, there's basically two options. People can believe the Word of God and believe that Jesus is Lord and King and Savior and Redeemer, that He's the Son of God. They can believe that, and if they believe that, if they believe that Jesus came and paid for their sins and they will turn away from sin and death and trust Him, they will be saved and have eternal life. That's what the Word of God says. And when, from the moment they believe that, they can rejoice and they can know that they belong to Him. But there's only one other option. If they do not trust in Jesus Christ, they make God out to be a liar. If they don't believe the Word of God, if they don't believe what the Scriptures say, they make God out to be a liar. And that ends very badly, no matter how good of a person they may be or think they are. I know a lot of Christians, though, sometimes wrestle with staying in salvation. I've had people ask me, what if I lose my salvation? I believe the gospel. I said a prayer. I raised my hand. I came forward. I was changed by that. But what if I lose it? What if I mess up? Life in the Son is for keeps. Life in the Son is for keeps. My wife and I went to a barbecue and bingo night here recently and had a few friends join us there. Had two of our granddaughters, Arwen and London, were there with us. We played. I'm a very competitive person. Anybody else like bingo? My heart, it gets caught up in it. I want to yell bingo, so I even practice. Like, you know, I want to yell a great bingo. And I want to win so bad. I don't even know that it's about the prize. I just want to get a bingo. I just kind of feel like a loser if I don't get a bingo. But when you have grandkids and they go play bingo with you, you know something changes. I wanted a bingo for my granddaughter Arwen more than I wanted a bingo for me. Now, I wanted for London too, but London's too little. She didn't even know what was going on. She was just hanging out and drawing with crayons. But Arwen was playing bingo. And after each game would pass, they played dozens of games, and after each one, she'd say, "Papa, Mimi, I want a bingo. Am I going to get a bingo?" We'd say, "Well, just keep playing, sweetie." And I started praying hard. "Lord, would you bless my granddaughter with a bingo?" And you know He did. He did. Late in the evening, it was, I think, the next to the last game, Kim starts getting really excited. She's sitting next to Arwen, and she's like, yo, bingo, look. So Arwen was so excited, she didn't know what to do. She was just like, but Kim yelled, "Bingo!" for Arwen. We were so excited. So Arwen went up, and the way that was set up, you could pick whatever prize was left. And would you believe that the 144-piece set of sidewalk chalk was still there? That the 40 elderly folks who won before, none of them took the sidewalk chalk. She was so excited. That's the one she wanted. It was one of the last two prizes. She picked it. And it was so heavy. I mean, she brought it back to the table and she sat it down. And the evening was winding down. They were closing up and we were getting ready to go. And she said, "Papa, do I get to take it home? Or do I have to leave it here?" I said, "Sweetie, it's yours. It belongs to you. You take it home." When Jesus gives that gift of eternal life, He's not taking it back. It belongs to you forever. He is not taking it back. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? It's not based on you having a good day or a bad day or being worthy. He is faithful, even when we're not. He is so good. He is the one who guards your salvation. He is the one who keeps it. It is God who keeps us. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, wrote about God's keeping power. Paul said, I know. There's that phrase again. I know. I know the one in whom I believed. I know that I know. Because I know Jesus, I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. You know what Paul had entrusted to Him? Himself. His very soul. And Paul said, He is able. I know Him, and He is able to guard it. He is able to protect it. I read that word guard, and I think of an army, you know, guarding something of value. Your soul matters to God. It is of great value, and He is guarding it. There is nothing that can take it from Him. I don't have all the answers. I am grateful when during the week sometimes some of you will text me or send me an email or call or we'll meet and talk, and many of you will ask me about salvation. I can tell you that there's a lot of mystery in God's will. There's a lot of mystery in God's ways. There's things I don't understand. There was a hymn writer a long time ago, Daniel Whittle. And he said, I don't understand God's wondrous grace. He said, I don't know why He would make that known to me, of all people. Why He would have mercy on me. He said, I'm unworthy, and yet Jesus redeemed me. That's all of us. He redeemed me, and He made me His own. How are you responding to the risen King? How are you responding to the gospel message? He loves you. He died for you. No matter who you are. No exceptions. Every one of us. Are you experiencing life? Real life. Abundant life in the Son. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. You can know today. If you don't know, today's the great day to get that settled. Amen. Sometimes we are willing to pursue some religion about Jesus, but it's not personal. We think it is, but religion doesn't give life. Jesus does. You've got to trust Him. You've got to take Him at His word. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so glad that You left the glory and the beauty and the majesty of heaven to come here and be with us on earth. That You came to live with John, with Peter, with Andrew, with James, and that You came here to walk with us as well. That by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can walk with You each day, present with us, for all who will trust in You. That we don't have to be lonely anymore. We don't have to be broken anymore. We don't have to be ashamed anymore. That You came to seek and to save each one of us. And that we can know by taking You at Your word, by believing You, By believing the gospel message and receiving your offer, we can know that we belong to you, that we have eternal life, and that you are with us today. Lord, we pray that you would help us to put that into practice. That we wouldn't just know in our heads that you are present, God, but we would, by faith, know that you are with us. That we would practice your presence in our daily lives, God. That we would speak with you as though you are with us because you are. That we would live as though you inhabit our lives because you do. That we would give grace and mercy and forgiveness to those around us, God, because you are with us to make that happen. That we would share the beautiful, old, wonderful story of the Redeemer, the gospel message, Lord. That we would share that with people around us because you are with us to share that. That you work through us, Lord, because you're with us. Lord, help us to know that we know that we know that right now in this moment that you are with us and that you are continuing to do a work making us more like you. God, we pray for anyone here today, Lord, who has not previously believed your testimony about your Son, who has not taken that step of trusting in Jesus personally, of saying, God, I want to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. I want to acknowledge him as the one who took my sins to the cross. Lord, I confess, I know in my heart I need a Savior. But Lord, I'm going to take you at your word right now by faith. And I'm going to know that I'm a chosen child of God. I'm going to know that I can rejoice every day that Jesus loves me and that Jesus is keeping me and Jesus is with me. Lord, we pray that you would give that miracle, that gift right now of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
chosen child of God.
I want to share something with you for just a moment, but I know Brother Danny's waiting to lead us in a blessing, so I'll ask Dan to go ahead and lead us in that, and then I want to share something with you.
All right. Everybody help me read this together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. I just wanted to, I want to give an invitation. This is God's testimony about a son. And it is wondrous. And if you came here today not a child of God yet, you don't have to leave here today that way. I think it'd be wonderful. And our God is so gracious. I think it'd be so wonderful if everybody who left here today in a little bit left as a child of God. However you came in. So I want to put it out there that if you would let me show you in God's testimony about his son, who Jesus is, and how you can have eternal life, I would love to do that. I would love to do that. So maybe you have even had doubts. Maybe you put your hand up in a service years ago, but you need to go back to the Word of God and see what the Lord has to say about his son today. That's an invitation for you too. So I'm going to hang out as we follow the Lord's lead. I don't know if that means we're closing or not, but I encourage you to fellowship. And you know, but let me show you in the Word of God. Don't leave here doubting. Leave here knowing that you have eternal life in the Son. So, amen. If the Lord's touching your heart this morning, listen to Him. That prompting may not come again. Maybe today is your day.